Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. On Wednesday afternoon, the D-backs took 2 out of 3 from the Pittsburgh Pirates in convincing fashion. Adam Jones and Eduardo Escobar each homered, and it was a big day at the plate for Jerod Dyson.
3-2, and a little floater. Shallow center, base hit, and it's going to score a couple. Greinke still pays off. He scores from second after Murphy came in from third. Dyson dumps a 2-run single into center, and the lead goes to 5-0.
Dyson scored 3 times in the 11-1 win over Pittsburgh. The bigger concerns were with a couple of D-backs injuries. More on that in a moment. But after the game, Dyson was very excited with the team's performance.
The running game has been so important for you guys. What was the key with it today?
You know, just take advantage of the opportunity. You know, if you get a chance to take the extra base or steal a base, you know, you take advantage of it. Today, I was just trying to be a spark plug for the team and get on base and do my job.
You have been that spark plug all year. What has allowed you to be so consistent offensively?
I want to say just being healthy for the most part. You know, I'm in a great, better shape than last year. So, you know, that's the type of things I can do when I'm healthy and things going my way. I create habits up there. And that's what I did today.
You saw a guy, Chris Archer, I know has been tough in the past. You saw him a lot in the American League. What did you feel like was the biggest key for the offense against him today?
Not going out the zone, make him throw pitches in the zone, and we get on base, try to take advantage of whatever he give you. That was the key today, you know, just go out there, see some pitches, get our pitch, and don't miss.
Jerod Dyson, one of many offensive stars for the D-backs on Wednesday. David Peralta left that game with tightness in his right trapezius muscle, although the D-backs aren't concerned. The news wasn't quite as good on Zach Greinke, who was pitching extremely well. Had a shutout going into the 8th inning when, with 2 strikes on the pitcher, Chris Stratton, he was forced to come out of the game with irritation of an abdominal muscle. Greinke, after the game, described what happened.
It was a pitch before, first time I felt it. It seemed like a good idea to try to push it at that situation. Maybe if I did it over again, I would just throw like a 75-mile-per-hour fastball to the pitcher and see what happens. But definitely didn't want to try to throw another pitch hard and take a chance of it pulling more than it did. It reminded me of the oblique thing from 2016, but it was lighter than that. And so that's what I thought it was at first, was a oblique thing similar to 2016, and I didn't want to push it, and hopefully it wouldn't be as bad. But it seems to be in a little bit different spot, and it's lighter. So, I mean, last time it was 6 weeks. Hopefully it's not even 6 days, but we'll see.
The good news is, well, Zach Greinke is going to throw a bullpen session tomorrow. D-backs still hopeful that he can avoid the injured list. Here's what's on tap today. We'll visit with Torrey Lovello before the D-backs take on the San Francisco Giants for the first time this season. Pitching matchup today, Merrill Kelly against the Shark, Jeff Samardzija for San Francisco. Torrey Lovello will help break that down for us. And it is Friday, so we hear from one of the D-backs' top minor leaguers. And today it's catching prospect Dalton Varsho, who has been red hot at AA Jackson. Tyler Springs, the voice of the Jackson Generals, caught up with the D-backs catching prospect.
Recently, Dalton, it seems like you found your stroke here at AA. What's been going so well for you?
You know, I just try to stop putting so much pressure on myself and just kind of be me. I feel like a lot of guys here have put a lot of pressure for us to, like, perform, and usually when we win, everybody performs. So a little rough night tonight as a team, but hopefully we'll get back on it tomorrow.
What's being you look like when it looks good?
Just having fun. Realistically, when we're winning, we're all having fun. We're all hitting usually pretty well. It's usually a good time in the clubhouse and in the dugout. So usually when people are smiling and having fun out on the field, usually it's a good time in the clubhouse.
We've had a couple of games this year where you had both a home run and a stolen base, and that's not so common for catchers. I'm curious to know, did you choose catcher way back when?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up and I just liked catching growing up, and I just liked being able to control a game, and just kind of stuck with it, and it became a passion and a love for me, so I kind of stuck with it.
Were there guys that you looked to in specific as role models?
I grew up around the clubhouse in Philadelphia. I mean, there was a lot of good guys there. I mostly looked up to Jim Thome. He was my guy to like really kind of follow. But catching wise, I mean, I was around. I got to meet Yadier Molina, Buster Posey, a couple of those guys, and it was fun being able to meet them and pick their brain a little bit at a young age. And I think it was a good advantage for me to kind of take advantage of.
This is maybe an obvious question, but why Thome?
Great guy. He always took me into the batting cage and flipped to me. So just as a kid, I liked that, and he showed me some time and effort to be able to do those little things for me.
In terms of your athleticism and your quickness, I know that you're a guy that gets around the baseball field very quickly on the base paths and also at the plate, but has it taken practice for you to keep that up during a long season where being a catcher is kind of a grind?
Definitely. Knowing the days that you kind of have to shut it down on the bases, that's what I kind of learned over these past two seasons, of understanding when I need to just pump the brakes, because sometimes you just don't have it that day. You don't get the good reads, you don't get the good jump, so you just got to take it a day at a time, and then those days that you are feeling good, those are the days you take your chances.
You're playing for a manager this year, Blake Lally, who was previously a catcher. Do you find that's better for you, or maybe that's harder on you, or neither one?
Honestly, it's a great advantage for me and Dom. We were able to learn, and he's able to tell us little bits here and there and help us understand the game a little bit better and be able to call a game. But he does a lot of things for us that a lot of managers aren't able to do because they don't see the catching perspective of it.
What's one example?
Just being able to call a game, just understanding when to throw the correct pitches, and we'll go back through film and go through them, but he does a really good job of helping us like be able to control a run game and understanding that. So he kind of lets us do that by ourselves, but he also kind of tells us when to throw over and stuff. But he does a lot of different things that my managers that I had in previous years haven't been able to kind of help me with.
Dalton Varsho, D-Mac's second rounder in 2017 out of University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And what a start to the season he has had. After a slow first week or so, 274, 358, 462 slash line in Double-A Jackson, with nearly as many walks as strikeouts and four stolen bases. Despite the fact he's a catcher, he can really, really run. 19 stolen bases a year ago in Visalia. It's a guy who's going to be a huge part of the D-Back's future. Well, a huge part of the D-backs present is what's coming up tonight against the San Francisco Giants. Let's sit down with the manager, Torrey Lovello. Well, Torrey, some scary moments after what was a really good victory on Wednesday. Zach Greinke had to leave mid at bat in the eighth inning with a shutout going. How is Zach?
Zach's doing okay. The MRI came back good. We're super excited about that. He tested it today with some really light throwing. Tomorrow we'll have a bullpen and give us more of an indication. But as far as overall health, we feel like he's in a very, very good spot.
So there is a chance that he would avoid an IL stint then?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to remain optimistic until I get as much information as possible. And tomorrow will be another really crucial day in this puzzle. But yeah, I feel very good about his chances of avoiding that and pitching as soon as he possibly can.
David Peralta came out of the game early. He's back in the lineup tonight. How much treatment did he have to do to get ready for today?
Yeah, I think it was just some post-game treatment. Took care of it yesterday, maybe a little bit more today before the game. And I think he'll be ready to go. I think it was more a sign of, you know, just the fatigue, the grind that we've been going through had been going through up until that off day, where his body was responding and telling him that he needed to rest up. So we did that, and he's ready to go today.
No, we're still kind of on the injury front, so it's worth asking about Taiwan Walker. And when he walked out of a start in extended spring training after two innings, he had an MRI on his shoulder on Wednesday. What's the diagnosis for him?
Yeah, it isn't great news. It isn't anything that we were hoping for. Taiwan's been on an unbelievable path back from Tommy John surgery last year. but he felt a little discomfort in his shoulder, so we decided to, as a precaution, to take him off of the field. We got an MRI, and there's a capsule sprain in there. So we got a PRP injection today, and it's 6 weeks of no throw. So once we get to that point, we'll reassess where we're at and hopefully get some sort of a timeline.
What kind of response did you get from the medical team in the questions you had about where Taiwan was, both mentally and physically, after that?
Well, he was in a great spot. He was really charging towards the quickest return possible. But then, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to see him with the off day yesterday. I missed him as well with the injection. We're not going to have him come in today. But, you know, it's just unfortunate. Everybody's kind of in the same boat, that Taiwan was working hard. He was on a direct path to joining us sooner than later. And when your athletes go through that, you feel for him, you hurt for him. So I'll get a chance to talk to him tomorrow and get a little bit more feel for it.
You know, the injuries put a cloud over Wednesday, which was a really good day overall for the team, not just with the way Greinke pitched, but mm-hmm. with the offense. This isn't a club that walks a ton. How impressed were you with their approach against Chris Archer?
Well, we knew that there were times where Chris Archer can be lights out, and there are times where you just got to let him pitch himself into trouble. And we were aware of that, and we made some adjustments. They got some good information from the hitting coaches. They trusted that, and they went out there and built innings from the very, very beginning of the game. And when you score early runs, it's demoralizing to the opposition. And when you play downhill baseball, it's a much easier way to go up and approach the game pitch by pitch. So I was very pleased with it. I was very pleased with the approach. I was very pleased with how they drove in the runs once we built those innings.
All right, let's talk a little bit about tonight. The San Francisco Giants come to town for the first time. There's a lot of familiar names there. The outfield is a little bit different. What do you know about this version of the Giants?
Well, they're very very much the same pitching-wise. They have some really good arms with some margin going today. They got Buster Posey back behind the plate. And then, you know, the majority of the guys on the infield have been there for the past 3 years. So we know they're a very capable team. And as I've been saying, anytime you have the guy that's going to be starting tomorrow, Madison Bumgarner, you're going to give yourself a really good chance to win. So we got our work cut out for them. I know that the pieces have changed in the outfield, but they're still very good players. We know that we have to go out and be ready and respond. We had a good off day yesterday. Respond to that off day and come out and win this baseball game.
Pairing Avila with Kelly, I know you obviously got a righty and Samardzija on the mound, but what do you like potentially about that pairing?
Well, you know, first of all, I kind of base it on some of the outings, some of the matchups of pitching-wise, but I know that it's important that Alex is in there with Merrill. They had a really good rapport the last time, and I just wanted to make sure that Alex is experienced to be able to walk Merrill through some situations that could potentially arise. There's a huge trust factor when you have as much time behind the plate as Alex does, and I didn't want to miss that.
D-backs skipper Torey Lovello as we get you ready for the D-backs and San Francisco Giants. Remember, the BP show coming up at 6 o'clock tonight on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and on the D-backs Network. Greg Schulte and Tom Candiotti with the call tonight. Merrill Kelly for the D-backs against Jeff Samardzija for San Francisco. Thanks for joining us for a little early BP.